Sandra Goldshine is on the phone with us today, and she's the ACLU's Reproductive Freedom Project Director of State Advocacy, which sounds like an insanely busy job. She's here today to talk about the situation in South Dakota with the proposed abortion ban. Thanks for coming on to RealityCast, Sandra.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
Okay, so what is at stake in South Dakota regarding Measure 11?
Well, let's just start with some background. Measure 11 is a South Dakota ballot initiative that would ban virtually all abortions in South Dakota. Now, it's the second time that South Dakotans are being asked to vote on an abortion ban. And just in 2006, a basically identical ballot initiative was decisively rejected by voters. But the ban's back again, and South Dakotans are again going to be voting on an abortion ban on November 4th. But what's at stake goes beyond South Dakota. The real purpose of Measure 11 is to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, as most of us know, in Roe, the Supreme Court said that states can't ban abortions. It's unconstitutional. So the folks behind the South Dakota abortion ban basically want the Supreme Court to revisit this decision. And so they're trying to pass a ban full well knowing that it will be challenged in court. Now, unfortunately for them, I really think that there's no way South Dakotans are going to let this happen.
So South Dakotans decisively beat back a similar abortion ban in 2006. It wasn't even marginal, if I'm not mistaken. So why is it back again?
Yeah, one would have thought that losing so decisively in 2006, now the abortion ban went down with a 12-point margin, would have been the end of it, that the voters had spoken. But unfortunately, Measure 11 supporters are way too busy pushing their own agenda to listen. And so they've introduced a nearly identical ban and are trying again. But South Dakotans are still going to vote against Measure 11, really because it's interference with personal and private decision making.
From what I understand, the Right to Life Committee did do some polling data and found that if they could somehow convince people that there was an exception for the life and health of the mother and for rape and incest, that they would win with that. Why is that? Why do you think that's not going to be a factor, since they claim that's what this bill does?
Right. Well, Measure 11 purports to have exceptions for where the woman's health is at risk or for where the pregnancy is a result of rape or incest. But in reality, it's not true. Any doctor that reads that law would not be providing abortions in those situations. The language is so, the exceptions are so restrictive that barely any woman would qualify for it. And I really think that South Dakotans are not just focusing on where the exceptions are. They are focusing on the fact that they have already voted on this, that the voters have already spoken, and also that it interferes with personal and private decision making. And the South Dakotans really just want to let families decide here. They do not want the government to be involved in this decision. So I don't think there's as much of a focus in South Dakota right now on whether there are exceptions or whether there aren't. This is a place where they do not want the government.
You spent last weekend in South Dakota going door to door and talking to voters about Measure 11. What was that experience like, and what kind of response did you get?
Well, it was a really amazing experience and very surreal. One day I was reading the newspaper and boiling over with anger about the South Dakota abortion ban. And basically the next day I was knocking on doors in Sioux Falls and explaining reasons why one should vote against this ban. Now, talking with someone can really make a difference, especially on this issue. Because it's such a highly politicized issue, it's important to take it from the front page to how it will impact the lives of women and their families. And people really just liked knowing that they weren't alone in their opposition to Measure 11. I got a lot of thank yous for being there and spending the day knocking on doors. People wanted to see that there were other people that felt the exact same way as they did. And so I was really glad to be there. And so basically, I highly recommend, everyone transforming their newspaper anger into volunteering. And if that's not possible, if you can't get to the state that's making you really angry right now, just making sure that you tell your friends and family about what's making you angry, because many people have to learn what's at stake in South Dakota.
In a blog piece you posted on the ACLU national blog last week, you talk about meeting Tiffany Campbell, a South Dakotan mother who strongly opposes the ban. What is her story, and is it resonating with South Dakota's voters?
Tiffany Campbell is such an incredible woman. I first met her in 2006 when I was canvassing against the first abortion ban, and I was fortunate enough to spend some time with her earlier this month in Sioux Falls. Now, her story is one of incredible difficulty and strength. A few years ago, when she was pregnant with twins, she learned that one of the babies had a severe case of twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome. So basically, the twins unequally share blood circulation. So they had to make an incredible hard decision, and Tiffany and her husband decided to abort one of the fetuses in order to give the other a chance at life. And today she has a healthy and happy son who's nearly 2 years old. Tiffany became involved with the fight against Measure 11 because she wants all women to be able to make private and personal medical decisions without government interference. And from what I saw, the South Dakotans who hear her story are able to hear, you know, really just one of the ways Measure 11 inserts the government right into the middle of important medical decisions. And it's impossible to listen to Tiffany and not wonder how else Measure 11 can endanger women and their families. She was really, you know, just absolutely inspirational with the way that she has selflessly used her own personal experience to be able to talk to the public so they understand just how far this goes.
During the 2006 struggle against the abortion ban, there was some kind of a tangle between the state government and Indian reservations, at least one leader of which was saying that they would actually have abortion services on the reservations out of the reach of the state government. Is that a factor in this go-round?
Well, I don't think that particular issue is a factor, but what I think is, you know, important is that the South Dakota Campaign for Healthy Families is doing, you know, is canvassing and talking to voters and calling on people to find out, you know, what, how they're voting and whether, you know, they can understand about the, you know, the reasons why, you know, this ban is so dangerous. And one of the places where they're doing this work is also on in Indian country, on the reservations. And the, you know, the ACLU of South Dakota has a long history of helping, you know, Native Americans defend their rights. And so we are, our ACLU of South Dakota has been working along the reservation so they can understand, you know, how important this ban is to, you know, to every person in South Dakota, as well as to all the people around the country.
Today's guest has been Sandra Goldshine from the ACLU. Next episode, we'll have an interview with Tiffany Campbell herself, the mother we discussed. Good luck in South Dakota, Sandra, and thanks so much for coming onto the show today.
Thank you so much, and I encourage everyone to go to sdhealthyfamilies.org to learn more information about the ban.